business at hand, it looks like we have most everybody.
Yes, we do, Byron.
We certainly have a quorum of members. Great, everybody's got the agenda. The agenda's up on Adobe right now. In the context of the agenda itself, just to make sure that we prioritize the items in terms of urgency, not commenting on importance, but certainly on urgency, I'd like to move agenda item 7, which is around the survey, move that forward into fifth position, agenda, make it agenda item 5, and then just swap those to make sure, because of the timing constraints, that we have a fulsome discussion on the survey first, just in the off chance we don't get to everything.
Okay, sounds good. I'll do that.
Anybody, any objections to that? No? Okay. So other than that, noting that one change in agenda order, let's move on. We can move on to the action items. Noting that the first couple are completed, the third action item, I would just ask if Kyle or Jay, could you provide an update, or should we just defer this to the agenda item specific to the SLE review? Are you okay with that? Or is there anything you want to really bring up right here, right now?
I'm happy with that.
Okay, so hearing no objection to that, let's just defer any discussion on that to item, agenda item number 6. So we'll defer that to 6. And the final agenda item agenda item number 4, I'm just doing these a little bit out of order. Sorry, it was around the annex to the CFC charter and the review remediation process. That was something that we had determined to set up a working group between Elise, Elaine, James Gannon, and myself. To be frank, haven't made a lot of progress there as a working group. But what I've worked on with Alan is to put together essentially a straw man, and I think you know what I'll do, if that's okay, is I'll forward it to the group just as a point of discussion, a starting point for discussion once this call is over. So not a lot to report there, but we have done some work on it, and this document I think will just provide a kicking off point. Okay. Any comments or questions on the action items? No? Okay. Then we'll move on to the PTI report to the CFC. I mean, I think the I'll let Elise take it away.
Okay, thank you. So we met the performance SLAs 98.6% of the time, and basically the two areas where we had issues were the ones we've talked about many, many times, the technical check. And this is an area where the CSC has said that the threshold could and should be revisited. And that's, I think, one of the action items that Jay and Cal were looking at. And so basically, if we had revisited it or this was reset in some way, we probably would have met 100%. So it was just the two technical check issues. Do I have questions about those?
No questions. We've seen this show before, so to speak. So.
The other thing I do want to draw attention to the committee is that we do have the addendum for a revocation that happened in May, and that revocation was from one of the new GTLDs, which has been removed from the root zone. And that's M as in Mary, T as in Tom, P as in Paul, C as in Charlie. And it's at the very end. And as we said, once we are making revisions, if there are any revisions to be made to the SLEs, we will make sure we have this measurement added to the SLE dashboard.
Okay. Any questions from anybody? No? Okay.
All right. Thank you.
So moving on from there to item B, as I think you'll all know, the CSC report itself, the draft report, pardon me, has been circulated by Amy. Is Amy on the call?
Yes.
No, hi, Amy. I guess you're new to this program, so welcome.
Thank you.
So the report has been circulated. Are there any comments or questions? Fairly straightforward now. Cal, go ahead.
Sorry, I think my question is probably more appropriate for the prior document. I was just a bit slow in putting my hand up. We had agreed, I think, last meeting that we'd also have an addendum of some type regarding IDN table submission. I was just wondering whether, in fact, there were any IDN tables and if we had any stats on that. Obviously, if there were no tables handed in, there's nothing to measure. I was just checking.
I'll defer. I think Kim's on the call to mention if there were any IDN tables submissions this past month. But, Cal, before I defer to Kim, my recollection of the meeting was that there wasn't an understanding of what it is that we're supposed to report about IDNs, whether they're just there or if there's some other metric or I thought there was going to be a discussion about that. So I think that's why we haven't yet even considered adding it as an addendum, but perhaps I misremember.
And this is Kim here. I'm not sure if we completed any in the calendar months prior. We just completed some last week, but obviously that would be beyond the period of May. I'd have to check to be sure.
Okay, Cal, did you want to respond to Elisa's question?
Yeah, just following up on that, and it might be that my understanding is different, so I apologize, but I thought that we'd agreed that we wanted to understand basically the time from submission to publication, understanding that I think you described the process as almost bespoke for each particular table submitted. So just whatever data you had on that time was fine to begin with, and that we would improve the nature of those metrics over time. So my recollection is that you would simply fill that addendum item with whatever data you have, whether it was a rough estimate from Kim or whether there was a ticket value. We weren't particularly concerned, just so long as we did start to collect that data so that we could start to have a useful discussion about the exact metrics at some point. So I don't know if we need to formalise that action point or do something more. At this stage, I'm just looking for a beginning of data on that item. Thanks.
May I speak, Brian?
Yeah.
I guess I just did. But okay, Cal. Sorry, I think I must have misunderstood if that was, you know, the outcome of last month's call. So I will get together with my team and we will look at, especially since we know there were a couple tables published in the month of June, so and see what we have that we could potentially put into an addendum and report and share that in the July meeting. And then perhaps we can have a discussion as we collect more data as to what the CSC is really looking for or hoping we would be able to report upon.
Thanks, Elise. Cal, is that satisfactory for you? Okay, great. Thank you. So we'll look forward to that next on the next report. Any other concerns or comments on the CSC report? Okay, seeing or hearing none, then I would ask that Bart can, you know, at the close of this meeting or in a timely manner, can you send it out on our behalf?
Yep, we'll do the we'll follow the usual process. So hopefully by tomorrow we'll have it sent out, at least to the direct customers.
Great, thank you very much. On to item number, agenda item number four, which is an
Myron?
Update on it.
Cal still has his hand up. I don't know if it's...
Cal, go ahead.
Thanks. You just reminded me when you said that we would send this report out. I received a query from the Registry Stakeholder Group or a member of the Registry Stakeholder Group a couple of weeks ago regarding the timing of our reports. And I honestly can't remember if we ever publicly stated the cadence, the intended cadence of this report each month. But it occurred to me that perhaps this time, if we haven't already publicly stated when we will send these reports, perhaps we might include a short statement in the email that this that we transmit this report with that says something along the lines of we will try to have the each monthly report out by the 20th or summer or whatever date we're happy with. If we have already sent that out, I apologise, but it was a legitimate question at the time.
Any comments on that? Any further comments or questions? No? Okay. Jay? Jay, go ahead. Jay, if you're talking, I think you're on mute. All right. So with that, we'll move on to item number four, agenda item number four, an update on identified work items. And could I ask part or Trang to walk us through the...
I'll do it. We can do it fairly quickly as soon as the document is up. You see marked in yellow the changes. The main item that has changed now is the CSC charter review. First of all, I'll allude to it a little bit later. You'll see mention of the team from the RISG and the CCNSO. And as a new work item, as discussed last call, was the CSC internal review of the charter as suggested by Elaine. Please note, say, you haven't assigned this to people yet. So if you want to do it now, or we can do it later on. These are the major changes.
Okay, so in terms of that last one, we'll address it when we get to agenda item number 6.
Yeah.
Any comments or feedback on the identified work items list? No, I'll make one comment, and that is I think everything on here is now captured sort of in the action items component of the agenda. So given that everything is captured already in another agenda item and has now been regularized and I think fully captured, I'd suggest perhaps that this regular agenda item number 4, we kill it and just let the actual substance of it live on in the action items going forward. So I would make that suggestion to the group. Would anybody object to that or have another path forward? Happy with that, Jay? Okay. Okay, seeing no further comments or hands up, then let's do that going forward. We'll just kill this, what has been a regular agenda item number 4, and just make sure that it lives on in the regular action items elsewhere on the agenda. Thanks. So we will then move on to the new agenda item number 5, formerly number 7, which is around the annual customer satisfaction survey. And first of all, I get that out. Let me just say thanks to Elise and Marilia for all of their feedback and input and feedback into the process to getting us to this point. And this deck had been sent out earlier. Hopefully you've had time to peruse it, but we will do a little bit of a walkthrough, not a line-by-line by any stretch, but a bit of a walkthrough on it. And then ideally seek approval to proceed with it. But before we get there, maybe I could just ask Marilia and or Alan to walk through some of the highlights on it, since, to be frank, they did a lot of the heavy lifting on it. As we all work through it. So maybe I'll hand it over to Alan to start with, and then Marilia, please feel free to jump in any and everywhere you see fit.
Sure. Okay. Thanks, Byron. So we had a look at the survey, and I know that Elise and Marilia had a couple of things they wanted to tweak as well. So I think we've come together with a few suggestions, and I'll just kind of walk you quickly through a bit of this, of the survey, more with reference to the tweaking, the changes we're talking about. I don't know who's controlling that. So for those of you who may not have read it, you know, this is not a survey specific to the naming community, but rather it's all of those who are customers of IAM. So we have to keep that in mind when we're looking through changing that. Next slide, please. So there is a regular cycle that a PTI follows for the survey, and that involves finalizing everything about survey by the end of June. And I think that's one of the reasons Byron wanted to make sure that we were able to deal with this item in full today. Otherwise, that whole sort of schedule would be in jeopardy. Next slide, please. So really, there are kind of three kinds of questions. One, the first set are multiple choice, which all nine groups, like, for example, the RIRs, TLDs, for example, all answer. There is an opportunity, and also the answers to those questions are not segmented. So if you look at the survey, you don't know the difference in overall satisfaction between the TLD community and the numbers community, for example. There are, however, some multiple choice questions that are tailored to the individual groups. And finally, there's an opportunity for what they call open-ended questions, where you can type in any comment you want. Next slide, please. So certainly my sense of this, and I talked to the chap in our company, that because we have our own survey that we do of our customers, and they thought it was quite a good survey. Nothing kind of jumped out. So, and I think it's good that IANA/PTI has been doing this for a few years. There are some opportunities for improvement, though, and these focus around the response rate and also disaggregating some of the answers by the user community. Next slide, please. So this is just the overall answer, so you can see in last year, for example, 2016, 4,200, over 4,800 invitations were sent out. And I should say these are only sent out to actual customers. So if a TLD did not have an interaction with IANA that year, then they would not get a survey sent to them. So, but you can see it's quite a low response rate. Overall, it's 10% last year, and it kind of hovers around that. I think it's better to get that higher. Next slide, please. So this is just some discussion on the open-ended questions. And as I mentioned before, these were not actually disaggregated, so we didn't really know who said what. Next slide, please. So I think I've already said it a few times, but really we'd like to drill down a bit more to understand how the TLD community feels about overall service they're getting and overall customer satisfaction. So that's one of the areas where we're going to seek some changes, that is to say, to get some disaggregation in these results so we can break out the TLD community. Are there any questions on that?
No.
No? Great. Let's roll the next slide. So I see that, well, this is kind of, well, so it's not reading kind of well, but anyway, the response rate from the TLD community hovers around 15 or 16%. And even though it's higher than average, it's still, as far as I'm concerned, not as good as it could be. So that's an area where I think there are some things that can be done. And next slide, please. Well, certainly this isn't coming out well, I apologize. But what is very clear is that the response rate for the CCTLD community in 2015 and 2016 was zero. So and even though it's slightly better, I'm sorry, my computer timed out, so I'm losing my screen. There we go. And it was actually better for the G community. So I think it's kind of pointing at ourselves in the CC world that maybe we have to pick our socks up. I can tell you that the overall response rate for the Gs in 2015 was 13%, but that actually dropped to 5% last year. So I think we should see what we can do to fix that. Next slide, please.
Elise Lindsberg has a question.
Sure.
Just wondering. And maybe I'll put this out to PTI folks. Any sense of why the response rate in 2014 was reasonable for the CC community, and yet has gone to zero 2015-2016. So any thoughts on what happened in 14?
Not for the CCTLD community. For the GTLD community, it was higher than the following years. And I think that period covered the first time that we surveyed that customer group, that we had a larger pool of GTLD operators. But for CC, it's been average. It's been the same amount for over year on year. So I can't say why we haven't been receiving responses on that segment. The only thing that comes to my mind is some CCTLD operators also operate GTLDs, and the way the survey is segmented right now, they could have chosen just to answer one piece of the survey, which is the GTLD segmentation, and not answer, the same person did not choose to answer the CCTLD part if it's the same person. But other than that, I have no other insight into it.
Okay. Thanks. And you know, I might just add, you know, the point of this exercise is not just to drive survey results. The point of this exercise is to drive feedback and input from the customer community on any potential issues or opportunities for improvement. So, you know, I guess one way to interpret this is the CC community was satisfied. But I think that there is definitely an opportunity to get a richer set of feedback, certainly from the CC community and maybe from the G community, to help help PTI continue to improve its service offering.
Byron, Elaine has her hand up.
Hi, Elaine, go ahead.
Thanks. Can you hear me okay?
Sure can.
Okay, great. So I'm wondering, in your count, it looks like you had around 4,000 customers, and I'm wondering, is that the customer considered a TLD, or are you looking at unique entities, or are you looking at operators who may have several TLDs?
This is Morelia here. It's the over 4,000 invites that were sent. It's not only for the names function, that's total. So that includes the protocol parameters and the numbers functions as well. It's not only names. Slide that he sent that had the graph, the tables, has the exact amount of CCTLD and GTLD invitations that were sent a couple slides back.
Okay, but the same question. Are you inviting, is a customer based on someone who's engaged with you, or is it, because if someone may have engaged with you, you know, 10 or 20 times in a year, or is it one invitation per operator or entity?
It's one invitation per operator, if they have made any request for that period. If the operator hasn't interacted with us for the period, they wouldn't have gotten an invitation.
Could I just interject here? Could I ask just to go back to the slide that shows the two tables of CC and CTLDs?
Yes.
Unfortunately, just the way this is showing up, Elaine, it's not really doing it justice, but if you look at the GTLDs, for example, and I think this is going back to what Elise said previously, if a customer had had an interaction with IANA CTI during the course of the year, then an invitation to participate in the survey would be sent. So for GTLDs, in 2014, there were 199 that had interactions in that year and therefore invitations sent. In 2015, which the numbers are blocked out, it was 260. And in 2016, it was 399. So my reading of that, and Elise, correct me if I'm wrong, means that in that year there were 399 GTLD operators who had interactions with you, and therefore you sent out 399 invitations to participate in the survey.
Yes, that's correct. Marilia, do you want to confirm that also?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And Elaine, does that get at your question?
I think so. So I guess what I'm driving at is I'm an operator that has 198 TLDs, and I may have interacted with you four or five times over the year for different TLDs. So what I'm trying to get to is were four or five invitations sent because each of those TLDs has an entity, or was there only one sent because Donuts owns all of those entities?
So, Elaine, to answer your question, you should have gotten one unless you if you interacted with us in five different instances throughout the year, and in those five different instances you use different email addresses, then you could have gotten more than one.
Okay, so it's tied to an email address, and that's where the counts are coming from?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. Thanks.
And going back to the other Elise's question, since the CCTLD table had 31 in 2014 invitations sent, and there was a response rate of 5 people, 16%, and Elise wanted to know why it had dropped, we really don't know that, but looking at this, we sent over, almost three times as many or over three times as many surveys in 2014, and we got some responses. So it just could very well be that we were lucky that year. I don't know what else to say, but there was 31 sent in 2014 when we had a better response, and in the next 2 years, 9 were sent, and of those 9, nobody responded.
Yeah, and so thank you for that. And just to make sure we're all clear on this slide, Let's not forget the actual title itself, which is for delegations or transfers. This wasn't just updates or anything. This is delegations or transfers. And not that that changes the essence of the why and getting to the notion of maybe, and I think we need to unpack this and at the very least we need to understand it. Is that invitations are sent out based on different emails? That's one way to do it. But essentially we have the TLD itself. We have the operator. So in Elaine's case, we would have Donuts that operates many TLDs. Should the survey be sent out many times based on the TLDs within Donuts portfolio? Or should it just be the parent, if you will, corporate entity Donuts, getting their feedback, regardless of how many TLDs. And does anybody have any thoughts or comments on that? Elaine, your hand is up. Did you want to make another comment? Or?
I do, thanks. Yeah, so one of the things I think might help with response rates is I saw the timeline in the previous slide Alan showed, so this would be a change. But if the survey were sent, within a couple of weeks of the interaction with the PTI, because if I receive a survey 3 or 4 months after have interacted with someone, it's highly unlikely I'm going to remember what that experience was like, and therefore I probably won't respond. So if you shorten the turnaround time between the interaction and distribution of the survey, that might increase the response rate. And also that would pick up on the point of, if I've interacted with PTI 12 or 15 times over a year, my experience might be different depending on what sort of activity it was. So if I'm only receiving one survey for a whole year's worth of activity, my actual response isn't going to be indicative of each individual experience.
Okay, thank you. Can I get whoever's controlling the slide to flip to, I think, the next slide? No, the one that has the response rate for TLD results is the title. No. It's another table. That one. This gives us just a little broader perspective across TLD operators, and to me indicates that of those 4,200 sent in total invitations were for root zone changes, 540. So it just gives us a little broader perspective on numbers and a different set of numbers from delegations and transfers. Here, Elise, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Byron. And Elaine, thank you for your comment. That's exactly one of the things we've been looking at internally, and Marilia has been leading this activity. And one of the things we thought...
We've lost you, Elise. Elise? Okay, well, we'll wait for Elise to get back. Any other comments on this, particularly any thoughts on whether it's the TLD, the operator, or an email? Is obviously how we segment this based on those can certainly have an impact in the difference. Jay, I note that you have some questions about the survey. Yeah, your hand is up. Go ahead. Okay, Jay, I'm just going to read your question. The question is, what segmentation do we think should be added to the survey? Oh, and that's a question for Alan, I guess, from earlier in the presentation. I don't know, Alan, do you have any comments on that?
Well, certainly what we talked about was to put the selection of the community that you're from at the start of the survey, which would allow for disaggregation of the results by community. That's what we mean by segregation. So all of those questions up front about how satisfied are you, right now there's no ability, the way the survey is structured, to disaggregate or segment that. And the proposal is to put the identifier of the community up front, which would allow for those results to be segmented. Does that answer your question, Jay?
Jay has also asked if there are any other segmentations that might be of interest, such as sizing of the customer.
That's not something we talked about. So throw it out for discussion. One comment I would observe is with a sample size so small, particularly on delegation, redelegation, you might not you would risk disclosing exactly who it is if you ask that. But I mean, others may have used.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Oh my! So
just like the commercial. All right. Do you want to follow up on what you were talking about?
Yes, if I could go back and then get back to the segmentation question. So,
sure.
Elaine, thanks. We have been considering very much that same idea that you brought up, that people forget about the ticket, especially if it was a small change and it's someone who did it that's no longer even there with the organization. So what we were thinking of, not for this year's ticket because survey, because we're already in process and we need to do some development, is having a post-ticket survey for standard transactions where we get some immediate feedback on the transaction itself. And then the survey would itself deal more with the engagement with PTI and the IANA naming function and your experience with our engagement overall and how you think we're doing our business. Marilia can probably speak to that more if you'd like more ideas on what we're thinking. But, you know, you've definitely hit the nail on the head that what we've found out is that, you know, if people have just one ticket during a year, they don't even kind of remember it. So a post-ticket survey would give us some immediate feedback, and yet it wouldn't necessarily tell us about our overall engagement. So we would still want to have the annual survey.
Let me jump in on that one too, Byron. We at CIRA, I mean, we have our, as a registry operator, we have our own customer service environment, both first and second level registrar and registrants. And we did an annual survey for many years and have many of the same challenges that you're experiencing here, or had them in terms of, especially with registrars, once a year, at the end of the year, trying to get them to fill it out, which that in itself is a challenge, and then to remember the individual transactions. So I totally empathize with the challenge, and also recognize Elaine's comments is right on the money. You know, in our experience, what we ended up doing was doing a post-ticket survey. Now, you couldn't run a you can't run a detailed survey there. So you can We believe in our situation, we couldn't run a detailed survey. So we run 6 or 7 questions, which are consistent every time, and get feedback on every ticket after resolution. And it provides an immediate feedback loop on the issue and a subset of the fulsome set of information collected in the broader annual survey. So we haven't found a perfect solution, but I would suggest that this is giving us certainly more frequent and more immediate feedback as one, or at least our experience, and a potential option. Jay, your hand is up. Do you want to do this by typing? And I can read it out for you.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, we can hear you now, just like the ad said. Yeah.
Excellent.
Go ahead, Jay.
Right, so that's a Toby Connect changing the way it uses microphones. Okay, so on just one little question related to this, asked about segmentation, Elise, you said that development would be needed. But I wasn't clear if that means developing just the questions or whether actually you're using custom survey software that would require some kind of development here.
Oh, this is Elise. I hope you can still hear me.
Yes.
What I meant is that in order to do a post-ticket survey, we felt that we needed to look into that and see how to integrate that into our system so we don't have that in place.
and we won't have it in place between now and September because we have some other higher priority activities. And so my expectation was that this year's survey would be run very similar to last year's with small improvements, which is what we really haven't even gotten to that part of the presentation by Alan yet. And we would have improvements on the segmentation, which is done by the vendor, where the vendor will have the people selecting their segment in advance of taking the survey, so all the questions will be segmented when we get the results. Whereas before, at the end, people would take the survey and pick, and they could only pick one segment. Now they'll be able to pick one, two, or however many. So you're a GTLD operator, a CCTLD operator, and you happen to be an RIR. That's a possible.
Okay, thank you. I have some more detailed questions, but perhaps we should go through the rest of the presentation and I can ask them after that.
Okay.
Thank you
for that, Jay. I just want to pick up on something else that you put in the chat, and that was segmenting by registry size, so I think that's what you meant, and regularity of contact. I'm not sure what you mean there, but I think that TLD size, as it relates to domains under management, I'm going to make the assumption that that's what you were referring to. If not, correct me.
No, but I wasn't. I was referring to owing to Elaine and number of TLDs or number of protocols, or I would only interact with PTI about one TLD. Elaine potentially is interacting, as you said, with over 180 something TLDs, and so that's the sizing that I meant that would then. That and the frequent, the regularity of contact is, how many times have you dealt with PTI over the last period of time? How often do you expect to do it over the next year or so? So, mine would be once and probably once.
Okay. Just my immediate reaction to that is I think those could be valuable segmentations. Absolutely. So Elise.
Yeah, I think.
Or Marilia, any thoughts on that?
I'll chime in first, Marilia, if you'll welcome to chime in second. This is Elise. I think on the size of a TLD operator, that's kind of assuming that we have a way of identifying that when we send out the survey to an operator, or if you're saying they should self-identify. Self-identifying,
yeah,
I think you could manage. But, yeah, we wouldn't want to – otherwise we would lose the anonymity if we had to segment the survey and send it to different places. I think I heard you said self-identify. That's something we could add to question. And then I think, I don't know, maybe Marilia will be able to fill in, whether or not we ask how often during the year a survey recipient has interacted with us, because that would be valuable information. Like you said, if they respond only interacted once, then we know this is a person that's only interacted once, or an entity. Whereas if they say 10 times, then we know they've interacted more frequently. So they have a broader spectrum to be basing their responses. I'm not sure what that will tell us in the analysis. Marilia, go ahead, please.
We don't currently ask that question, but that's a valuable input, yes.
So,
okay,
I've written those down as two ideas for when we talk to the vendor that we could potentially add some additional questions.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much, and look forward to hearing back on that. Any other commentary? And let me just also say, Alan, we've had, I think, a a decent conversation here. Was there more you wanted to bring to our attention? Because we didn't actually get through the whole presentation.
Yes, let's just go quickly to this forward to the slide with the title TLD response rate. It's text.
Mine is up.
Mine isn't up yet. Okay, well, that's fine. So basically what we will do is, what is being proposed is that CSC will try to improve survey responses as part of their regular engagement, which we'll likely do at ICANN Abu Dhabi, and we'll see if there's opportunities for sending emails or doing updates, et cetera, as part of that process. And so what we will do is, as we're actually preparing for that meeting, I think at the end of October, we can come back to this. And for example, if there are presentations, we can put a slide or a couple of slides in on the need and the value of actually responding to the survey. So, and part of, as a consequence of that, we're going to have to slide the survey a little bit, the actual schedule on that slide, in order to have it extend beyond the end of the ICANN meeting in early October. Next slide, please. So this is really next steps, and actually a lot of this is more with Marilia than myself. So maybe if you don't mind, Marilia, just telling us what specifically we're proposing to do.
Yes. So for the next steps, in order to meet that Abu Dhabi timeline, I already have a list of questions, and I'm adding the ones that you guys are giving here today to go to the vendor and see what is possible and how they can design the survey to meet these requirements. I'm planning on. Of having the survey invites be sent out after U.S. Labor Day, which is the second week of September is usually when we send it out. We would be sending it out. The pre-survey notification that we send is would likely go out in October before the survey is launched, so that it is live in Abu Dhabi, so you guys can help promote it and therefore try to increase the response rate. So that's where we are timeline-wise. And I think there's one more slide where you give the revised timeline. There. So right now we're on the plan annual survey questionnaire, which involves any changes that we identify here. Then the engagement would happen in the coming weeks until August when we finalize it. The pre-survey announcement will go between September and October, and the third party to conduct the annual survey would happen in mid-October to mid-November. It's usually live for 3 weeks. And then the review of the results would happen between December and January, and then a report on the annual survey results would come in between February and March, the month of February probably. So that's the plan right now, if you guys have any questions on that.
Any questions from the group? Any overall questions or comments beyond timing?
Can I just add one thing that I think, Alan, it was in the deck, but we didn't get there. Historically, we've been, the survey vendor was administering the survey and sending us the raw data, and then we would compile the results and write the report. What we're proposing for this year, which is the biggest value added to an external survey, is that they will send us a report with the analysis already made by the vendor. So it's going to be a completely independent analysis of the results. So that's another change to the survey format.
Okay, thank you. Jay, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you, Byron. So I have two questions. This is something I raised the last time around, just checking if it's there. Does this survey use important satisfaction gap analysis? Now, for those of you who don't understand what this is or aren't familiar, this is where you ask something like, how important is it to you that the bathrooms are clean, and how satisfied are you that the bathrooms are clean? Because a raw satisfaction measure by itself doesn't mean anything unless put together with an importance factor. And so if, for example, you have a very high satisfaction and a very high importance, you may actually be underperforming compared to where you have a low satisfaction but a very low importance. So is that technique being used in this survey?
Yes, it is. So we do ask, we have seven performance aspects where we first ask how important they, to rate the importance of each one of them. So their documentation quality, process quality, transparency, timeliness, accuracy, reporting, and courtesy. So accuracy has historically been the most important aspect. So after they look at, they give us the results for what's the most important aspect, and then we ask for how satisfied are they with the accuracy. And throughout the survey, these are the performance aspects that are used in the questions.
That's fantastic. That's great. Thank you. My second question then is, does the survey include broader questions on the set of services provided and the perceived need for new services to be introduced or even for existing services to be dropped at all?
Not directly. So it is based on the general questions, ask those two things that I rate the importance and then the satisfaction. And then also it asks for people to tell us if they know that we have a customer service complaint resolution process, if they've experienced any issues with IANA in the past, and how was the resolution? Are they satisfied with the resolution that they got? So those are the generic questions that everybody, all the 4,000 people plus, get. And then on the segmentation, it's specific to each individual service. So for the naming functions, there's questions about how easy it is to use RZMS, for example, which the protocol parameter group, they don't get. So there are questions regarding satisfaction with the specific service that they get, but not necessarily an option for them to give suggestions unless they want to in the open-ended questions.
Okay, my suggestion is that there should be, you know, some more formal questions about the service set, and that the natural implication of doing that is that the survey needs to be sent to more than just the people that have interacted over the last year, because that's the only way you can find out if people haven't interacted because the service they want isn't there. For example, we've had this conversation about IDN tables, and we've also had conversations about different DNSSEC algorithms, and this would be a useful way to determine whether people are, what people feel about the introduction of those type of new services through this customer survey.
Thanks,
May I comment to Jay's good suggestion? Jay, I think that's part of our concept for not this year's survey, but when we move to having a post-ticket survey and looking at more the annual survey being a more formal engagement survey to find out more specifically how people feel we're doing on certain services as well as introduction in a more general way of other services. So I don't think we would be able to change horses right now without also having the post-ticket survey. But that is something we're considering for the next year's survey to really develop that.
is there a possibility that the survey questions will come out to CSE in advance of them going out? I'm not insisting they should at all, just questioning, so that if there's any suggestions we can make that can insert things in a reasonably quicker fashion, then we could make those through that mechanism.
I'll let Marilia respond to that.
Sorry, I was on mute. Jay, yes, we can. I can circulate the questions that we have, and based on the proposed improvements, where those would go. If you guys want, I don't know if you want it to be shared in this call or in the mailing list.
I don't mind. If you're concerned about the confidentiality of the questions, you can send them direct. Otherwise, I'm happy for them to go to the list for all of us to be able to see.
Yeah, why don't you just send it to the list? I would also just caution all of our members, we don't want to get into wordsmithing their work product, and we need to be sensitive to that. But, if we have good and constructive suggestions, I'm sure they'll be open to it, but it's most definitely PTI's responsibility to do the work here.
But and I would like to mention, we are in discussions with the vendor, as you can see from our timeline, because even with these small tweaks, there are changes that we're requesting of them in order to continue to meet the timeline and to have results that are comparable, if not exactly the same set of questions and set of structures that we'll be able to compare with our previous year surveys.
Right, because there's no doubt questions here where you want to maintain the longitudinal data set. So that also has to be factored in, indeed. Okay, any final comments or questions on the survey? All right, well, thank you very much, Marilia and Elise, and also Alan, for the work done thus far. So maybe I could just ask Elise and Marilia to report back after they've discussed any proposed changes with the survey vendor, if there are any real challenges, if things go according to the conversation we've just had here, or substantively similar, I think we can just accept that. But if you find there are any issues or challenges or hurdles, please report back and let us know that.
Will do.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So let's move on to agenda item number 6, which is an update on the CSC charter review. And, I think there's a couple of separate but related issues here, a few separate related issues here. One is keeping an eye on the process that both the CCNSO and the GNSO must lead. Another is, appointing the CSC liaison to this review. And I think a third is going back to one of Valaine's previous comments or suggestions that the CSC itself make a submission to the review. And we didn't come to ground on what to do there, but I think there's at least a few issues to discuss on the charter review. And maybe beginning with the first question there in terms of the CCNSO-GNSO review, could I ask Bart to just provide an update to the committee on where that is at?
Yes. The, as I alluded to in the work items overview, CCNSO and RISG have appointed each two members. From the RISG is Donna Austin and Keith Drasak, and from the CCNSO it's Abdallah Omari and Martin Boyle. Note, Donna and Martin have been intimately involved in the drafting of the charter and establishing the CSC. They met the first time about 2 weeks ago to go over the terms of reference, or the strawman for terms of reference. Will be updated, and which the update has just been circulated, and they hope to be ready prior to the Johannesburg meeting to share it with the RISG and the C Shinzo and broader. It will be a lightweight review, as it could be expected, made very clear it's just the CSC charter, and they will definitely want to talk to the CSC itself, and really looking forward to the internal review of the CSC, and they will talk to the PTI. If you look at the schedule, as I said, they hope to be ready with their terms of reference by the Johannesburg meeting, so ICANN 59, so the review itself can be kicked off at 1 October when everybody knows what the terms of reference are. The ICANN 60 meeting, so Abu Dhabi, will be used for formal consultations with the community, because that's what they need to do. So they will conduct a formal workshop and probably revisit the CSC or the RISG and the CSINZO and other stakeholder groups. They, leading up to the 1st of October, they want to have first an informal meeting with the CSC to understand if there are any concerns on the charter, and then probably we'll have a formal meeting at the Abu Dhabi meeting itself. Post-Abu Dhabi, they need to draft up an initial report, and if there are any changes, and that's the unfortunate thing, or fortunate, depends on your point of view, they will need to conduct a public comment period on their draft report before they send it off to the CCDSO and GNSO for adoption. So that's where there are, that's the proposed work plan and schedule of the CSC review. Any questions?
Thanks, Bart. Any questions or comments on that? Everybody's a basic sense of the timeline and the moving parts.
I have a question, Byron.
Elaine, go ahead.
Yeah. Do we know how long the comment period is? Is it the typical 30 days or
The public comment period? It has to be, if you look at, say, the public comment period depends a bit on whether the charter needs to be updated. If it needs to be updated, it has to be the regular ICANN public comment period, so at least 40 days.
Okay, any other comments? Questions for Bart? No? Okay. Thanks. Item number two that I'd flagged was the CSC liaison, and that we will need to provide a liaison. So I know we have various people doing various things already, but we will need to identify a liaison from the CSC. So I'm going to put that to the group in two ways. One, if somebody is itching to be the liaison, feel free to put your hand up right now. That said, if you want to contemplate it and nobody leaps to the front of the line, we will put a request out and you'll have a little more time for sober second thought before you jump on this opportunity. And we will do that after the meeting, after this meeting. But we will need somebody to be the liaison, so I'd encourage you to contemplate whether or not you could actually do that. The third thing is, I just wanted to pick up on one of Elaine's questions in a previous call on whether we should be, we as the CSC, should be providing input. And I just want to pick up on that question or that statement and see if there were any other thoughts on that and whether we would support doing that as the CSC versus just individual members doing their own thing. Any thoughts on that, Elaine? You want to make the case for it, or have you rethought it? What do you think?
No, I still think it's a brilliant idea, and I thought that we had agreed last time that we would do that, and that's why in the agenda it says we are updating work schedule to include the review of the charter. So are we, I guess I, have I misunderstood that?
No. Just want to confirm it and find a volunteer. Now, of course, without putting you on the spot at this moment, but I will, you might be the natural leader for this. Would you have any interest to take point position on doing something here?
Sure. I will do that.
Okay, that would be great. And, you know, as I'm so quick to do, I'll also be volunteer some of Alan's labor if there's any interest on your part to have some help on this. But I will leave that up to you.
Absolutely. I would love Alan's help. Thank you.
Okay. No, thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
All right. With that, are there any other comments or questions, issues on agenda item number 6, CSC Charter Review? Okay. Going, gone. Let's move on to what was formerly agenda item number 5, now number 7. And that's an update on the procedure for SLA amendment. And I had to print out 2 pages and go the old-fashioned way, scotch tape them together to work through this whole process flow. So maybe Trang, this is a very good and detailed picture or process flow of how you see it working. Could you just give us a walkthrough? And I know, Cal, you'd sent a comment to the list earlier. So maybe Trang, could I just walk us through it in the broad strokes?
Amy will do this.
Oh, well, I was going to say, actually, Bart rewrote a lot of this, so I was going to ask Bart if you wanted to go through this or if you wanted me to walk through this.
Well, that's fine. Let me do it. So this is the follow-up from, say, the previous workflow. Let me first answer or get back to the previous call. Say one of the questions at the time was, who needs to sign off on what part of a, if a SLA should be updated? And based on, say, a conversation with Sam Eisner, initially, to kick off and for the formal handshake, at one point the president of PTI and we suggest the chair of the CSC will formally agree that the SLA is or needs to be amended. So you have a point in time where both parts agree to it. So that's the lower flow. The second point is at some point, say, if the SLE needs to be changed, then the board of ICANN and the board of PTI need to amend the IANA naming function agreement to which the SLA is an amendment or an annex. So that agreement needs to be changed, and that involves the boards of PTI and the board of ICANN. So these were the questions from the previous meeting, and they're now included in the process. The second thing is, and this is a little bit more detailed based on the discussions on the call last week or a month ago and an internal discussion, the flow in the top row, that is in case of the, say, the IRFT review. As part of that process, the SLA may be amended as well. So that's a separate item. The flow in the bottom, that is on the agreement between the CSC and the and PTI, so that's relevant for you at this stage, and that's the focus point. And if you would go, say, the first couple of process items is more the discussions you're having right now, and up to a point where there is a formal handshake between, again, PTI and the CSC to kick off the real process. So it's defining the scope, it's defining, effectively the scope and the areas that need improvement. Then based on that, you go into a public consultation, and that was one of the concerns that Cal raised on the previous call. So that's a public forum that's required, but also a consultation of the direct stakeholders. After that, the proposal or the proposed or and the input will be analyzed, and the CSC and PTI will make sure that they reach agreement on the change of SLEs, and then there is a need for impact analysis for the CSC or for PTI to understand what is the impact of the proposed changes, and then it goes into, say, the decision-making mode where the CCNSO and the GNSO need to agree on the changes proposed by the CSC. And then it's into the formal process, which is, as I just alluded to, the agreement between PTI and the ICANN board. That's in at a high level, say, what this workflow diagram reflects. I don't know, Elise, if you want to add anything, and or Amy.
I think you did a good job there, Bart. Thank you.
Thank you.
Agreed.
So any questions from your end? And I know Cal had some. Yeah, Jay, go ahead.
Thank you, and apologies for not giving this feedback previously. It seems a bit odd that two different groups can review and propose changes to the SLA without any requirements for the other group to approve the changes or even be formally consulted on the changes. And each of them potentially can hold their own separate work public forum. We could even be in the process where both decide to do it at the same time. What's the logic behind that?
Do you mean the IFRT flow and the CSC flow? I think this is what the CWG proposed at the time. So if you have any questions and the logic behind it, this is a consequence of the process.
Okay. Are we meant to be reviewing this process and recommending changes to this process?
Jay, it's Byron. For me at least, you're quite faint. Is there any way you could pump up your volume or speak closer to a mic?
I'll try. How's that? Is that any better?
That's actually noticeably better for me at least. Thank you.
Great. I'm sorry. So my question is whether we can recommend changes to this process to tackle what I see as a very odd dual-streamed process, and whether others agree with me that dual-streaming is unusual and should be tackled.
Cal, did you want to jump in on this?
I don't have any thoughts about our scope, but I was going to comment that the IFRT is intended to contain a CSC liaison, and that there is later a section or a reference to consult the CSC. So we would have to agree in our own heads that having both the CSC and the IFRT conduct reviews in parallel at any time is a bad thing before we want to change this, because I think there are at least some inclusions in the IFRT for CSC participation or communication. Maybe it's not enough. Maybe it needs to be formalised in a different way. So just sort of adding a little bit more detail to that discussion, I suppose.
Could I just add to that? The IFRT consultation with the CSC is, according to that diagram, on whether or not to proceed with any, you know, the public forum, and there's no consultation or anything later on should the IFRT believe that the SLA should be changed. And that, to me, is the unusual bit, is that each can run entirely their own independent process and end up with their own set of proposed changes. It is very odd, should I say.
Elise, go ahead, please.
I'm just going to mention that I think it'll be benefit if maybe we postpone more discussion about this when we can also have Trang join us, because my understanding was that the bylaws and the charter and some other documents, the CWG proposal, all have this flow, and I think that's what Jay was saying. Should we be challenging the documentation that exists and the flow and recommending changes? And if we do that, where would we make that recommendation? And so I think this was really an effort to get down on paper exactly the way things are documented today so that we all understand it with the various interactions between the various documents. And I also thought I understood that basically it's the GNSO and the CCNSO that really approve any changes. And so it's the CSC that inputs to them or the IFRT that inputs to them. And so the CSC, by virtue of the fact that it has GNSO and CCNSO and Registry Stakeholder Group operators, they would be consulted before any changes were made. I don't know if what I just said made sense. I think this really tries to document what's in the various documents today.
Okay. Thanks, Elise. Bart, you have a hand up?
Yeah, just to add to what Elise just said, be aware that the SLE review by the CSC is based on the charter of the CSC. the IFRT is fully bylaw-based. And so there is not very much detail in the CSC charter with respect to the SLE reviews itself. The only thing is there is mention of it as a power of the CSC together with PTI. So this might be, again, one of those items moving forward where there is a link between the SLE review and the way it's been described in the CSC charter, so the CSC review or the charter review itself.
Okay, thanks, Bart. I want to respect people's time because we are at the bottom of the hour after 90 minutes. We are not going to solve this question right here, right now. I think that was sort of a helpful opening salvo, and certainly appreciate whoever put this preliminary process flow together. I guess when I looked at it, you know, there's always a delicate balance between enough process to ensure silly things don't happen, but not too much process that prevents reasonable actions that an with appropriate proportionality of process to outcome. And I'm just struck that, you know, potentially the idea of proportionality may be slightly off here. And I wonder if there may be a more streamlined way to get to this. That being said, I think it behooves all of us, to dig into this in more detail so we can have further discussion at our next meeting and understand the puts and takes better, and of course include Trang in that, who has been at the center of this for quite some time. But I would like to continue this dialogue at our next meeting, and in the interim, just want to ensure that everybody becomes much more familiar with the background documents associated with this. And that's not to say that some of you are not, but just to make sure we're all up to speed so we can continue a more detailed discussion on this subject. Does anybody have an objection to that? But we will continue this dialogue at the next meeting in a more detailed way.
Bart, yeah, this is Bart. Yeah. Would it be helpful if I would, or that the secretary would compile the sections from the bylaws and send it to you as a point of reference, so everybody is aware what the sources of the sources.
Sure. A handy cheat sheet of the relevant documentation would be great. Thank you. So we will look for that. With that said, let's move on to agenda item number 8, which is any other business. Does anybody have any other business? Elise?
Yes, I did want to let the CSC know that we have had an escalation, we being PTI, the IANA naming function, and the escalation was around the requirement to have a name associated with a role account in a TLD operator. And so there were some issues where the person's email was going to a spam folder, so they didn't get our responses. They escalated it internally. After they found the responses we were replying to, they felt that the request to associate a name with a role account was not necessarily a requirement. So I just wanted to let you know that we've had an escalation, that someone was unhappy with our response time, but then they were happy when they discovered that it was going to spam, and they took care of their spam filter. But then they were concerned that there needed to be a name associated with a role account. So I don't know how you want me to give you escalations. So I brought it up as any other business, and we've had one.
Okay. Interesting to know. So I guess, you know, right out of the gate, when I look at the, I guess my first response is probably more just logistical, and that's in terms of the CTI report and the CSC report, which lists escalations as zero. So we're going to have to edit that. Jay, your hand's up. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just agree with you on the process issues there, Byron. But beyond that, I note that I and possibly other members of the CSC have been copied in on a lot of this correspondence, which I actually don't think is appropriate. The other thing is that I would personally be very happy if this escalation were in some way passed on to the CSC for us to review, because there are multiple comments I would make on the appropriateness of the language that is used when talking to PTI staff, the service expectations that people should have of PTI staff, and the way that people escalate issues with PTI staff, all of which I think are things I am, shall we say, unhappy about through what I've seen about this process.
Well, I appreciate your feedback there, because we were less than thrilled also with the things you just raised. But I'll be happy to formally document the escalation and send it to CSC. And perhaps since you were also copied on some of the email from the person who escalated, you can add your comments to our general escalation notice to you.
I would, anything that I say, I think, would, because of being a member of CSC, would have to be agreed and discussed by CSC around that. So we need a process for us to understand if we can do that, which I will happily push up to the chair for him to understand what we can do or not do there.
Yeah, and I would just caution us. I mean, our role is fairly prescribed on this, but we're to look at trends, not individual. Like, so we're, you know, our role is to look at systemic problems or issues, not individual complaints or escalations. So I would say first, let's have PTI prepare what they think is the appropriate level of reporting on this and push it to us. But in general, Jay, while I may share your personal opinions on wanting to respond to something like this, I think we have to be cognizant of what our, I think, fairly tightly prescribed role in a situation like this is. But first and foremost, Elise, could you provide us an appropriate level of report on the situation, and we'll go from there.
Yes, I'll be happy to do that. Go ahead, Jay.
Sorry, could I just add, the one way in which I thought it might be possible for us to intervene, perhaps intervene is the wrong word, but for us to comment, is on the expectations of how a service is provided when people are being unreasonable or being what may perhaps be regarded as abusive towards staff. I think that possibly is a matter for CSC to say, you know, that there are boundaries on what is the level of service that is expected under certain circumstances.
Right. So, I mean, there are ways to weave in some narrative around situations like this. But could I ask, Elise, provide us the reporting, and then we'll take it from there. And Jay, definitely your comments are noted.
Okay, thank you. I will send a report, and I did want to note that this was outside of the normal standard escalation process, but I will include that in the report.
Okay, and we will update the CSC report accordingly. Okay. Any other business? Okay.
Byron, just one question with respect to the escalation and the CSC. When did this escalation happen? Is that for the month May, or has it been more recently, so June?
Oh, that's right. So it did happen just this month, I believe. So I'm sorry, but I did want to let the CFC know as soon as possible, because that's
okay.
My responsibility.
Then I would. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that catch, Bart. And then I withdraw my comment on whether it should be in this CFC report. Clearly it shouldn't, because this is for the month of May. Thank you for the update, and we'll leave the report as it stands, since it didn't happen within the May reporting timeline. Is that clear? Everybody okay with that? Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks for that catch, Bart. And with that, let's adjourn this meeting. Thank you very much, everybody.